the char.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here, just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. It's gun deer season opener weekend. And we're here. We're not there, but it's all good.
Well, we're recording early because we are there.
Yeah, tell okay. Me. Yep. Bob's there. I'm not
going
to be.
Oh, you're not going?
No. Nope. I'm out. Where I go down in Shartucky, there's guys that want to be there a lot worse than me.
Oh.
So I let my my stand go and have some people that really would enjoy the venison if they got it. And I'm okay with it, but it's not like I'm dying for it. So it's all good. I got to go down there with my buddy Kevin, and he shot a big 10-point while we were there.
Yeah,
and,
you told us.
I got on the wrong end of that drag. Yeah, but no, I was happy to help because he's so gracious to let me hunt there. And, you know, it's all part of the game.
Well, I mean, it's not everybody that'll give you a place to sleep in the woods.
Yeah, heated with a nice comfy chair. Yeah, right. No, I was up in a tree stand on that
day,
but anyway.
I remember, what were we, bow hunting up behind Carl's house?
Yep. Yeah.
I bought these two big 22-foot stands because I was repping for a company out of Wisconsin, and they happened to sell a bunch of hunting gear. And so I put these two 22-foot stands together, and we set them up in pretty good spot. And I look over, and there's Jop. He's like,
"Well, as I remember, there was a little bit of a sunny spot. So you're up there, and you kind of get warmed up, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, you got a rack in front of you, so you really can't fall out.
So quick,
you really can't fall out because a little safety bar comes over. I suppose you could if you worked at it, but
did you wear Depends up there?
Well, no. Well, it depends on the day.
I still have that stand. I call it the Eagle's Nest.
And yeah.
We have it up at Whipple.
Yeah.
And it's a tricky one.
Right. Well, it's comfortable once you get up there.
It is, but it's 22 foot.
Yeah.
And I lost my harness when my box of hunting stuff flew out of my trailer last year. So
looking
all, I don't go up in it right now until I get another harness.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Anyway, Thanksgiving coming, and we just thought we did cover turkey a little bit with Sobey and Otto. And I just thought, you know, there's more to turkey than just letting your wife take care of it and bake it in the oven.
Right.
Which is what I very often will do. But we get the request very often for smoked turkey. And since you and I were talking about deep frying turkey, I've really had a hankering for that. It just, I remember the first one I did and how good it was. It's like, Conrad, you ever had a deep fried turkey?
Oh, yeah, with my brother-in-law on the on our front driveway. So, oh, yeah.
It's always somebody else with him. I've never heard him say, yeah, man, we cooked one last year.
I'm not in charge. Nope.
Chief eater.
Oh,
he's not the cooker. He's
Randy,
a chief eater.
He's relentless.
Yeah, Conrad, it's Thanksgiving, man. The Lions are on. What are you talking about?
Right. Well, we're going to be talking about turkeys, and we're gonna talk smoking. We're going to talk deep frying. We're going to talk, it looks like, in the last segment about how I like to do them, and I do them on the grill or smoker. So it's one of those things where it all depends how you like it, what your family's used to.
And I don't know if we'll follow the show plan because we never do.
Yeah, well, you know, at least it's a place to start, right? And once we get there, then we'll see what happens. But
I went to a brewery last week that has food, and I think I got food poisoning. I won't say who it is.
Well, it doesn't matter.
But,
it happens, right? Yeah.
I had the worst night you could ever imagine.
Wow.
It just went on and on and on and on because every couple minutes I'm getting up and running to the can. And I didn't dare fall into a good sleep because I'd end up
okay.
with a mess. Yeah, I got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, and since we're talking turkey, it made me research. My sister made this fennel stuffing. So I started researching online to find one, and that's where I found this one. But there's a bunch of them. But
you know, fennel is an interesting. It's a plant, and it kind of is in the celery family.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a fibrous plant like that, and you can eat the stalks, but you also there's like a little feathery leaf on it that almost they're really small and really long. They're long and skinny, and it just looks like feathers on top of the
And it's a and seed. That part, they've got seeds as well.
Right. And that part is super flavorful. When you use the tops,
it's like an onion, though, isn't it?
Well,
a bit.
Yeah, it
a
is.
Bit.
The bulb is.
Yeah.
Yep. But unlike an onion, I guess you eat the onion stalks too. But
oh, yeah.
But the
it's called the green.
Right. Yep. But the end, the little feathery parts, super flavorful, and they're very decorative too. You cut them off there, and you can like sprinkle them on things, and it's just a cool little vegetable that you don't use a lot.
Well, and since we were doing the porchettas,
right.
I had to buy a whole bunch more recently, and I kind of discovered
right.
fennel,
yep.
and I remembered that. So I wanted to do a fennel dressing at the end of the show.
Oh,
and but there's lots of things to say about dressing that people do differently, and like some people will put it in the turkey, some won't. What my wife does is she'll stuff the turkey, and then she'll pull it out when it's done, and she'll take all the stuffing out and she'll scoop it into muffin tins. She'll spray them down with Pam and put them in muffin tins and then bake them. Oh my gosh, are they great!
Wow,
before you got here this morning, I was talking with Conrad, and we had that conversation. It's like, Conrad, you like an in of the bird or out of the bird? And he goes, well, I like it out of the bird because I like it a little bit crispy. I don't like it all soft and mushy.
Right.
And I'm in his camp
right.
with that. So if I have to choose one or the other, it'd be out of the bird. But what you're talking about
right.
is you got the flavor from in the bird, and then you do it out.
Yeah, and I noticed that a lot of recipes will have the people like cook the stuffing first.
Yeah.
And they're putting chicken broth in it and stirring the heck out of it, and you've just got like a slurry. It's disgusting.
Right. Well, and when we talked to Sobey a couple of weeks ago, he said make sure you don't put warm stuffing in the bird.
Right.
Is you want to make, if you're going to cook it, let it cool down and put it in there, because if it were an hour or two with that warm stuffing in there, you could get bacteria growing.
You get the
inside
danger
that
zone.
Bird, right?
Yep.
So you want to put room temperature or colder stuffing inside that bird before you put it in the oven.
Another reason not to cook it.
Right. Yep. Exactly. I mean, you got to mix it up with the liquids
to
get it a little bit
you
soft.
You do,
but it doesn't need to be cooked.
Don't overmix it.
Right.
Because then it's just like oatmeal.
Right. And and I like the little. I'm a guy that likes a little square chunks.
Yeah.
Of that rather
right.
than a powdered type thing or
that's
something that's all ground up.
That's why this recipe I found uses baguette.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Oh yeah.
And that's what I make all my crostinis, all my croutons out of.
Yeah. Yep, that's cool. So
because I like to buy bakery bread fresh from Wealthy Street, but it's just the two of us, so I don't go through a whole loaf very quick.
Right.
So what I've gotten used to doing is I slice it up into cubes, and I put it in a big stainless bowl, and I'll grab some Old World Olive Company garlic EVO and some Tuscan, and I'll drizzle it over. I'll shake it. I'll drizzle it over, shake it, drizzle it over. And then a little bit of salt.
Right.
And then I'll bake it.
Okay.
And for some reason, when you do that, they get really crispy and they don't get moldy. Whereas bread will get moldy real quick. When you do this to them, the shelf life's pretty good on them.
Like, yeah, well, you've baked it and you've got the moisture out of there, and the moisture is what causes the mold in bread. So, yeah. Well, that's cool. But anyway, we'll touch on that in the last segment. We'll give you a recipe.
Hey, why don't we give away this auto turkey here? Why don't we get our listeners to sign up?
Yeah, well, we're gonna give it away at next week's show, but we'd love to have you sign up.
Right.
And you
got
to go to thegrillingguys.com. You'll see a Sobey Meats logo on there. Just click on that. Sign up. It's just so we know how to get a hold of you. Put your information in there. We're not calling anybody. We're not going to sell anything. We're just going to give away a turkey, and it's a fresh turkey
Yum.
From Otto Farms and here in West Michigan. So wherever you're listening, get on there and sign up, because we're going to draw it next week during the show, and somebody's going to win their free, wonderful, fresh
Otto turkey.
Otto Farms. You know, Otto Farms. So coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk about smoked turkey. Because I think a lot of our listeners maybe would enjoy doing that, and it's what I do every year, so we're going to share with you. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody's.
Welcome. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, thanks for tuning in. We're coming up on Thanksgiving. And right there at the end of the last segment, why don't you register to win a free turkey from Sobe Meats? Get on to girlinguys.com and register. And we're going to give
Did
that away next
girly
week.
Girly guys?
Yep, the girly guys. Yeah, look that one up. You're probably not going to see the turkey contest.
Oh, hello.
Could be someone gobbling.
Right. Yeah. But anyway,
turkey.
Smoked turkey. Here we go. This is the way that I do my turkey for Thanksgiving. It was as a grilling guy, not a girly guy, but a grilling guy. I tried this several years ago, and now the family and friends that we have over for Thanksgiving request it every year. And I do it a little bit different maybe than some people do, because I spatchcock the bird before I smoke it. And what that means for those of you that
Actually putting it on the smoker.
I am.
You're not grilling it.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. I'm smoking the turkey.
Well, it gets done a little faster that way.
Well, it's, about an hour quicker.
More evenly.
Yeah, and you've got to have your probe in it. I put it in the thigh right near the deep joint in the thigh, and then I put one in the breast. And so
it also makes for a great presentation.
It does.
It looks cool. But when you got that raw bird, whether it's a chicken or a turkey or whatever, and you're going to spatchcock, the thing I learned pretty quick is you want to make sure when you set it down raw that it's exactly how you want to present it.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can go with those back legs either way.
Right.
And it'll totally change the looks of it.
Right, like, yeah.
And, you're knee knocking.
Right. So what Bob's talking about is you're going to cut the spine and then all the way up to the neck and take the neck out too. And it opens the cavity. Then you take a sharp like boning knife and cut the ribs out of the bird. So
if you've got that bird on its breast.
Right, with its
back up. Down, back up. You usually have the little knob of the neck sticking up.
Yep.
So you take a little bit bigger knife and you run it right down, or poultry shears, and you run it right down each side of that spine.
Right.
Then you get a really thin-bladed boner.
Right, yep. And you, because once you take that spine out of there, the ends of all those ribs will be sticking up fingers.
Yeah.
Right? And there's a little membrane on them.
And they're sharp.
There's a little membrane on them. So get right behind the membrane and cut that away until you get down to the bottom where you can cut them out of the bird, because the idea is to remove the rib cage because it's going to make it lay flat when you flip it over to cook it.
Yes.
Right? So, but what this...
And it looks hideous.
Right. So this does two things when you do this is you've got no bird to stuff because we've just eliminated the cavity, right? We took the back out, we took the ribs out, and we're going to cook it flat. But I guess that could be construed as a downside if you like stuffing from inside the bird. The plus that I feel is that now I get to season both sides of the bird thoroughly, because if you think about it, this thing is flopped open. The whole cavity is laying right there on the board.
So you're going to do skin side down or up?
I'm doing it up.
Yeah,
yep.
Me too.
And so then once I season the underside, and then, season the whole bird with whatever,
And what would you use for that?
Well, I was talking with Tim Sobe, and Tim's got this Tim's blend, which goes on everything,
It does.
But my point is it's whatever flavor profile you like, but that one is salt, pepper, and garlic.
It's a real basic.
Right.
It's like
And you can buy poultry seasoning in a can or a jar, whatever it is, and any of those flavor profiles work. It's a big, dense bird.
The key is to get some salt and pepper in there.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
Onion, garlic.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, so if you're doing that spatchcock, Randy, and you don't get to stuff it, that stuffing recipe we'll be doing later looks to me, I mean, I've never made it, but I just in reading it, it's like, yeah, that's exactly what I had in mind. That looks like the perfect stuffing for the Pyrex sheet pans or cake pans.
But
that's what my wife always makes them in.
Yeah.
And those are nice because if you line the pan in bacon grease.
Right.
And you put your stuffing in there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. And it gets real crispy on the bottom.
Yep. Later in the show, I've got a couple sides that are based on with a bacon grease start. And I think you'll like them. But to finish the turkey, then it goes on I do this on the big green egg, my Kamado smoker, because it's a big round surface. This turkey sits right in the middle of it. And I'm using indirect heat. Because I've got this, what they call a plate setter, but it separates the coals from the grate. The bird's on the grate, the plate setter's in between them and the coals, so I get ambient heat like I would, or ambient heat, like you would in an oven. Okay? So the bird is, all during the cook, the bird is with the inside down and the skin side up. I don't flip it, I don't do anything, but I've got a temperature probe in the breast and one deep in a thigh, to make sure that I'm getting to my 170 degrees that I want to get it to, because when I pull it off, I'm still going to get a 5 to 8 degree increase when I pull that turkey off. And then when I get to my temperature, I let it set for probably a half hour. I tent it with either some parchment paper or tin foil on a cutting board, because I don't want to cut it right off the smoker, because we're going to lose all the juice on the board.
Right.
And turkeys can be dry.
What happens when you cook a protein like that is you're actually, the heat is forcing the juices and the fluids, it's water basically and fat, to move around the muscle, because the muscle is actually like a highway.
Yep.
And so that heat pushes it, especially if it's all intact. When you spatchcock it, you probably screw that circuit up a little bit, but the heat pushes that juice, and that hot juice travels throughout the turkey and cooks it.
Right.
It's kind of cool. Well, if you just tear right into it, it's going to be hot, and those juices are going to be trying to migrate back to the part of the muscle where they started.
Yep.
It's like they're smart or something.
I don't know. Right. It's a give and take thing.
Yeah.
And so letting it cool, I mean, nobody wants to eat 170 degree meat anyway. It needs to be cooler in order to enjoy it and eat it. But you still want it warm, don't get me wrong. But that bird is dense, that breast is thick, the thighs are thick, and, you know, you carve it maybe at the side of the table when everybody else is there, or you do it right before, but it's maybe sat on that board a half hour. Now, this is timing. If your bird all of a sudden gets to the temperature that you want, you can always drop the temperature of your oven, or if on me, like I've got the big green egg, that doesn't cool down that quick, I can take it in and put it in the oven at like 130, 120 and keep the bird warm, and it won't dry out. And while the rest of their stuff is getting done, I mean, it's a little challenge to time everything to get all that done at Thanksgiving. So you can put a bird on hold if you have to.
You get pretty good at it.
Yeah. But I mean, if it's your first time and you're just trying to, you'd say, hey, I want to do that.
And if it's spatchcocked, you're going to have a real tough time holding it, because what are you going to put it in?
Right. Yep. Yeah.
Now, if you have
put it on a big, like a baking tray.
If you have, but then like we've got some of these big insulated bags.
Oh, yeah.
You could use one of those like the catering companies use, pizza companies.
Yep, and put it in there.
Actually,
and just
be a great idea.
It'd hold, right. Yeah. It would, because you're right. You might not have oven space.
I'm full of good ideas.
Well, one or two, generally,
you're full
every
of
week.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not so full of it anymore, as I heard. But,
and humble.
Yeah, that's the way it works. But anyway, so any other tips for smoking a turkey?
Well, I don't know. I could go on and on about smoking anything, especially in the 70s.
What temperature?
When Conrad and I used to go around back of the... Anyway.
Yeah. What temperature do you usually smoke a bird at?
Depends on the type of smoker, but if you're on like a big steel or Kamado, and what kind of wood and charcoal, obviously, right?
Right.
I think you're going to want to hit around 3, 3 1/4.
Okay.
I don't want it to be... I'm not going to go too slow, because then it'll be smokier.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Coming up next, we're going to go from the smoker to the deep fryer, and this is where Bob is going to show you how to get it done. You listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
If you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats, where our staff is always friendly and they all know our creed. Come on down to Sobey's and let us meet your needs. We have kielbasa, kapusta, chicken, pork, and beef. Seafood and hot sticks, a snack that can't be beat. Dairy and deli, groceries, beer and wine. And once you shop at Sobey's, you'll shop there all the time.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. Please stop by to see Teresa and myself and the whole gang for good old-fashioned service at 3450 Remembrance Road. Make sure you visit SobeyMeats.com for our specials, and thank you for your support.
So when you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats. And if you're really satisfied, there's one way we can tell. When you leave the store, make sure you ring our bell.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. We're recording early because Barbecue Bob's up in the Deer Woods, actually today, but we're here on Thursday morning doing the show.
The Deer Woods.
Yeah, but hopefully, I'm not heard if he's bagged one yet, but hopefully he'll get a chance to do that because he loves his venison. But today...
I might be in the bag.
Right, yeah. Well, I've seen that too.
Liar.
But between naps in the tree stand, that's when I saw that.
Yeah. You open up that eye just straight down.
Right. Yeah.
No, you know, you want to get into the deep fry, and that's cool. But I have a little, you really hit on something good before, and that's smoking a turkey. I think a lot of people might look at smoking a turkey and go, I don't know. My wife doesn't like smoked. And, you know, then you're going to smoke the whole turkey. What do you... You know, what if people don't like it? And so, you know, you remember when Maureen's whole family would come to our house, like 60 to 80 people for Christmas, and I'd have to do three turkeys. Well, my wife couldn't do three turkeys in the oven. So I said, well, let me do one of them on my smoker. I said, well, let's deep fry one and you do one in the oven. And we went right through it. The deep fried one went quickest.
Yeah.
Then the next year she said, I think we got to do three turkeys. What are we going to do? I said, well, I think we should smoke two of them. And she's like, oh, no, no, no. You know what I live with. She's poo-pooing it because she claims not to like smoked foods.
Right.
She eats the heck out of it. But she claims that it's like, you know.
Well, too much smoke is too much smoke.
Yeah. Well, that's up to the guy who's cooking it.
That's right.
So if he screws it up, you're right. But so... I said, okay, let me, please, please, please. She goes, okay. The two smoked turkeys, first of all, I brined them, and, I mean, they turned out just gorgeous because I don't over-season them, and I use a light smoke. I'm usually using hickory for my property. And the two smoked turkeys, now there's like 80 people at our house.
Yeah.
And the two smoked, I think they were like maybe 17-pounders or, you know, not giant.
Right.
But the two smoked turkeys were picked to the bone, and the one she baked.
That was the leftovers?
Was hardly even touched.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you're not throwing your wife under the bus. It's just when it's done right.
No, she does the turkey beautifully.
Right.
And her stuffing's great. That's just how the flavor impacts the meat.
Yeah.
I think the smoked. Well, look at, I mean, it's all the stuff we make.
Right.
Look at sausage. Look at jerky. I have a relative who makes a ton of jerky, venison, and sausage. Well, he uses a dehydrator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. No flavor.
No.
All that does is drying stuff out.
He doesn't even dry it out all the way, so it's like it looks like it's wet.
Yeah.
And there's no smoke.
Yeah.
Whereas you go get that hillbilly jerky from Sobey's.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that stuff is smoked.
Yeah. It's like crack. It's so
good. Oh, yeah.
So good for you.
It is. So I just wanted to encourage people to try smoking a turkey, even if there are maybe people poo-pooing it.
So I'm getting a fresh turkey from Sobey's as surprise for all of our listeners. But you know what? If you say, well, God, I don't want to ruin it for my family. the big box stores that are around, they're like 79 cents a pound or 99 cents a pound. Sometimes you can get them for 39 cents a pound, right? If they're you buy a bunch of other stuff at the store, whatever. There's your opportunity right there. You got 10 bucks into a turkey.
Yeah.
Try it. So, try put one. It's got to be thawed. Obviously, we can talk about all that. But try one on your smoker. It's a $10 deal.
We have a relative who works, a bunch of them that work for General Motors. And one of them said, hey, you can have a turkey I've got in the freezer. I got it as a gift from work. And we will never, there's only two of us, we will never cook it.
Right. Yep.
And I'm thinking, well, you should cook it and have us all over.
Right, yeah, right.
But it was kind of her. So then my daughter-in-law is going, well, what could we do with it? We could make tailgate food. We could do blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, that's going to be our deep-fried turkey.
Yeah.
But she said it's a 30-pounder.
Ooh. Well, that might not be your deep fry. You got to have a big pot for
might
a 30-pound bird.
Fit.
Yep, yep. So let's talk a little bit about deep frying. Because I think there's a contingent of people out there that it's what they do.
Yeah.
And maybe others are considering it.
And if you don't have a deep fryer, I bet you have a buddy that does.
Sure.
That rarely uses them.
Right.
Because we all bought them in the 90s.
Yeah.
And we never pull them out.
Right. And what it is a little propane burner with a big pot, basically.
Yeah.
And you got to lift a basket in it or a hook that you could put in a bird to lift it up and down. But
It's like a medieval torture device.
Yeah, right. Well, the bird's already dead. Yeah, so there's no torture.
Oh, it's supposed to be?
Yeah, right. There's no torture. But huge point on deep frying turkeys, must be thawed. Must be thawed. Do not put a frozen turkey in your hot oil or you will get an explosion.
Well, also, don't let any water drop in it.
Right.
Because that frozen part of the turkey is water,
yes.
Crystallized.
Yep.
And it is a hydrogen bomb.
Yeah. So thawed out really well a day or two early. If you brine it, pull it out of the brine several hours before you're going to cook it. But more importantly is overflows of oil onto a flaming base cause fires. So what you want to do is when the bird is frozen, 2, 3, 4 days ahead of time before you thawed it, is put the bird in your pot completely frozen, can still be wrapped, it doesn't matter, and fill the pot with water and put a little mark on the inside of your pot to know that when you drop that bird back in there 3 days later when you want to cook it, that's where the oil and the water level need to be to make sure you don't overflow.
Well, I'm going to say you don't even fill your pot with water. You're going to probably put half full or two-thirds full because as soon as you put that turkey in there.
I missed the point because what you want to do is put the turkey in the pot, put the water in there till it fills up, and then pull the turkey out and then mark your pot because then it'll say what displacement the turkey's doing and you know your oil won't foil over the top.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Better said.
Thank you. I guess my point is if you fill it up.
You don't want to fill it first.
No.
You want to fill
it up. Not only that, but even when the turkey's in there.
Right.
You want to keep it a little bit from the top.
You just want to submerge, really.
And you should be using peanut oil or something non-jet fuel.
Well, you know, whatever you want to do, that's
well,
up to you.
Well, they used to always use, I mean, you almost had to use peanut oil, right?
Because right.
When you spill it, you get a hell of a fire.
Right.
I've never seen it, but I've heard stories of it.
Right. Just be careful.
I just don't like the taste of peanut oil.
There's all kinds of YouTubes out there that you could watch to figure it out. But that's of every way we're talking about cooking them. That's the potentially the most dangerous one is when you're deep frying it. But if you're cautious, it won't be. There's nothing dangerous about it. But you have to do it right.
What if you sign up for the free turkey at Sobeys and you win it?
What you can cook it any way you want, but just make sure it's dry.
Funny thing is, my boss. He says his friend Otto grows turkeys.
Oh, yeah?
I'm like, where's he at? He goes, he's in Hastings. I said, you know that we're giving away one of Otto's turkeys on the show? He goes, why? I said, because it was donated by Sobey Meats.
Yeah,
why not?
Yep. So the guy's apparently in Hastings.
Yep, get on the grilling guys. Get on the grillingguys.com and register because it could be you. You could be having that fresh Otto's turkey.
Yeah, who thought you could talk about frying and smoking turkeys so long? But there's so much more to probe into.
Well, let me talk about a side dish because I think that's something that everybody – that's one of my favorite things about Thanksgiving are the side dishes. Squash, acorn squash, you know, the little dark green ones.
Yeah.
Cut them in half.
You really like those?
Well, just a second. You're going to see why. Cut them in half. Take the seeds out. Put them face down on a baking sheet and throw them in the oven. Okay? You at a 400-degree oven, it's going to be about 20, 25 minutes. When you pull them out, all I want to do is be able to stick a fork through the skin on the outside to make sure it's done.
You could do that on the grill, couldn't you?
You could, but they're just quicker in the oven. But, yeah, you absolutely could do it on the grill. And then I'm going to cook some bacon up, and I want to reserve a little bit of the bacon fat. And so then I'm going to take two eggs, some flour, salt, and pepper, and I'm going to take all the squash out of the acorn. Mix it with the ingredients, and then I'm going to make patties on them. And with that reserved bacon grease, I'm going to fry them in an iron skillet.
Is that kind of sweet?
What?
Yeah, because sure it is.
Yeah, it is.
But an acorn squash, is it?
Yeah, they're better than others.
And tasty.
I've got a butternut squash recipe next.
Roast them up, man.
But this is fantastic. But it makes them patties, and it's crunchy. To Conrad's point, he likes texture.
Like a salmon patty.
That's exactly right.
There you go.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk about turkey on the grill. You've probably been waiting for this one the whole time, but you're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Andy Havemeyer, operating owner of Hall Street Bakery, where we're more than just pastries. Join us for happy hour Monday through Saturday from 4 to 7, with 30% off brick oven pizzas and $1 off beer and wine. Enjoy your meal and drinks on our large outdoor patio, or even take your pizzas to go. Happy hour deals also available at our sister location, Wealthy Street Bakery, which is on the corner of Wealthy and Union. Check out our menus online at wealthystreetbakery.com and also at hallstreetbakery.com.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Barbecue Bob's up in the woods. We recorded early on Thursday. Thanks for coming in, Conrad.
Hey.
And we've been talking turkey all day, and we've covered the smoker, and we just maybe took a little dip into the deep fryer. But now it's the grill. And, oven is a default position when you're a grilling guy, so we got to cover these other areas. But, Bob, what's your thoughts about turkey on the grill?
Well, you were talking about spatchcocking before, and that's the perfect time to do a turkey on the grill. And you don't have to go overly big because you got to flip this thing. And if you might want to have one of those contraptions that you pinch your meat in and can flip it with two handles. You know, it's like a
basket almost?
Yeah, ish. Yeah. But it's just got kind of flat, and it's got a screen on both sides.
I don't think I've ever
seen
one of those.
Well, you have at my house.
Oh.
It's like a basket, but either way, you put a handle on each side, and you can lift that thing up and flip it.
Yeah.
Because what you don't want is when you're getting the thing done, when you get towards the end, and you got to do it one more time,
yeah,
you don't want it falling apart.
Right. And they could, because when you got it spatchcocked,
presentation's everything.
Right, and you've broken down some of the structure of the bird by taking the backbone out and the ribs, so it gets a little floppy, and then you don't want it to rip apart, and now you got pieces that you're putting on your platter.
So you could save some of those fennel tops and maybe some raw cranberries and stuff and dress that baby up when you put it on the plate.
Oh, now you're talking presentation. That's not your role, brother.
I know.
That's mine.
I know, but I have a... No, it's not yours. It's my daughter's.
Oh, well, there's that. Yeah, right. But, no, that's because you know what? What have I always said? You eat with your eyes first, your nose second, and your mouth third. Because it's got to look good and smell good to taste good in my world.
Yep.
So it's all good. But
unlike that German potato salad the other night.
So are you going to grill this on direct heat or indirect heat?
Depends on what grill you have. If it's a turkey, a lot of people are going to have a hard time grilling it.
Yep, because it's the large bird in limited grill space.
Yes.
Yep.
I'm going to say it's probably not as feasible, but there are guys out there that say they grill it every year.
Okay.
And I think it's just because they want to be a grilling guy, damn it.
Right.
And they want to prove that they can do it, dang it.
Yep.
And I don't know if it's turning out good or not.
So let's talk
they claim
about
it
that.
Is.
I would think that I'd want low to medium heat.
Yeah.
If I'm grilling it, right? Because I don't want to burn it. And then maybe I would turn it up at the end to crisp up the skin. And when my last time, when it's on skin side down, I might elevate the heat a little bit to make sure that that's crisp, because no, I can't stand rubbery chicken skin, turkey skin, any skin. I got to have it.
You know, one thing you could do, if we're still talking fennel, if you're going to do a fennel dressing and you go out and buy a bunch of fennel, you could lay a bunch of those fennel across your grill, and you could grill it meat side down, not skin side, but the open side down on that fennel.
Well, that'd be cool.
Yeah, after you salt it real good.
Yeah, because what's going to happen then is that's going to cook, and the smoke going to come up through the
bird.
It's
going to crisp
up. And but it'll season it too.
Yeah.
I mean, when that fennel is cooking, it's going to give off smoke.
Oh yeah.
And that'd keep you up off the grill.
Fennel smoked turkey.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Look on that internet thing, and maybe you can find one of those. But
yeah, I don't remember what I first did that with. It wasn't fennel and turkey, but I saw somebody putting some greens down to grill something, and I thought, boy, wouldn't that be great? It solved the problem of burning that side of the meat if you've got a thick, dense piece of meat.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
It's good. Once again, keep your thermometer in that bird and your probe if you've got one, and so that you can, you need to get that to 170 degrees before you take it off, and nobody needs to eat raw bird.
See, Sobe said 170 last week, and that's fine, but if it's a full bird, if you barely bring it to 165, it's still going to spike over 165, and that's the safe limit. With a turkey in particular, I'm particular about a lot of things, I suppose, but I don't want to overcook that thing.
Dries out.
Yeah.
Dries out.
It's like a loin.
Right. That's another reason why you get a fresh one.
It's another reason why you go to thegrillingguys.com and go to ThermoWorks on the right-hand side, mm-hmm, and click on ThermoWorks and see all the digital thermometers that they've got for sale there. I mean, if you buy one of those, they're not much money. We might get 50 cents per that sell them.
Yeah.
But guess what? Every $2-3 that comes in from those affiliates like that helps us pay Conrad, because he's massively expensive.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We felt that burden today, but he's worth every penny, baby. He's worth every penny.
Thank you.
So I got one more
Speaking
side dish
turkeys.
For you, because squash seemed to be, this is the time of year where everybody eats squash, and you got to camouflage it sometimes. You know what the butternut squash are ones? Those are ones that look like a bell, right? They're big on the bottom, and
sure,
they're kind of creamy yellow colored. Well, cooked.
Do you like those?
What? Well, not unless they're like this. This is maple bacon pecan roasted butternut squash. Need I say more?
You had me at bacon.
Right. So there's bacon. You cut and peel and cube up the squash, and you're going to bake that off. Get it done. Right. And then
you peel it and then dice it?
Yes.
Oh.
So it's all cooked.
Okay.
And then, so basically, it's not a hard thing to do, because you're going to mix the squash after it's cooked with roughly chopped pecans, a quarter cup of maple syrup, some bacon fat that you reserved, and the crust chunked up bacon, and a little salt and cinnamon.
Right.
And you just mix that in together and slide it back into the oven to let it all come together. But you're talking, you know, bacon and pecans and cinnamon and maple all together, so it doesn't even really taste like squash anymore.
Wow.
Right? It's just a wonderful dish. Super easy to do. You can find this one
cube
on the internet.
And bake it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're going
to
peel it, right?
Right.
Like you would a cucumber or anything else.
Sure.
And then you're just going to cut it up in little like 1-inch cubes. It just makes it quick.
Bake it for 400 for?
Like 20 minutes.
Okay.
Because all you want it to do is soften up a little bit.
Okay.
And then you're
going
to pull it out and throw it in a big mixing bowl and add in the pecans, the maple syrup, and a little bit of the bacon fat, just to give it some flavor. And the actual diced up bacon, and, you know, salt and cinnamon.
And then you mix it up, and then do you bake it again?
Put it back in the oven, okay. Right, to get all the flavors to mix together. And then when you pull it out, when you're ready to serve it. But, you know, 35 to 40 minutes back in the dish, or back in the oven in a dish after you've taken it out, because you just want it to cook together, and it's going to soften, and you're going to lose your cubes, and it's going to be smooth.
I want to jump in with my bit from, I think it was 2 years ago, we talked about how I hate mushy and wet stuffing.
Yeah. Yep.
And so the morning after Thanksgiving, you're making breakfast for the house.
Ooh.
Throw some of that stuffing on the waffle maker.
Yeah.
Spray in some of that no-stick stuff, and it will come out crispy and tasty and better than it was out of the bird.
Right. It's the texture thing that you're going with there.
Yeah.
That's amazing, because it's a little crunch, and now you throw an egg on the side of that, or maybe a piece of bacon there too.
Yeah,
and
I think
now it's like,
Jop tried to make a sandwich out of them,
right.
And that didn't work out well.
Right.
We just recommend it as kind of a side dish. But
it's
amazing that your waffle maker can help the next day.
Yeah, and this is one of the three times a year you might get that thing out of your pantry, because, you know, not everybody, but a lot of us have waffle makers. But by the time you make the batter and you pour it in there, and you know, it's like a little bit of a hassle, and it's quite a little bit of cleanup. But this, you're just taking already made stuffing, throwing it in there, and letting it cook.
And
what
again,
a great way to do it.
In my household with my wife, it's crispy stuffing.
Right.
Crispy stuffing, not soggy, gray, whatever it is.
Right.
It looks like oatmeal.
And there's a lot of different ways to make stuffing. Some people put fruit in it. Some people put other things in it. Whatever you like, it's your recipe. And, you know, go for it.
Yeah,
this
fruit
is the once a year, and you can make it ahead too.
Okay,
you know, and you could have that in the morning, and then you're not going to make it cook it till the afternoon when you're serving your dinner. That's fine. That hour two, three, four isn't going to hurt it at all.
So today you covered grilling the turkey. You did a deep fry,
right?
Smoking the turkey,
right?
What's best?
For me, it's the smoker. I'm a grilling guy, and my family and our guests prefer it smoked. We've done it always, and they prefer it smoked. But you've been listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Barbecue Bob, you're in the woods. Get out there and knock down that big buck so we can have some venison when you get back. And we will talk with you next week. And we're going to give away that turkey from Sobey Meats. So get on the Grilling Guys and register to win it. Talk with you next week.
GrillingGuys.com.